This is the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. I'm John Riley. Each week, we connect you to the people, places, and geography of what you read about in God's Word. It's so important that we have a biblical perspective of what's happening there in the Middle East, in the land of Israel, and we try to help you do that every single week. On today's show, we have Jenna Ellis. Jenna Ellis is a broadcaster. She's heard on American Family Radio, and you can catch her program all across the nation at 7 a.m. Central, and she has a brand new podcast as well that we're going to be telling you about. Jenna, thank you for joining us today. You have an incredible love for Israel, and we're going to get to that here in just a moment. Tell us a little bit more about Jenna Ellis and what you do.
Yes, in the mornings from 7 to 8 Central Time or 8 to 9 Eastern, if you live in Eastern, like I live in the great state of Florida. And also, we have just launched a brand new podcast called On Demand with Jenna Ellis, which allows me to do a deeper dive into some of the topics like Israel, for example, or, you know, things that maybe we talk about news of the day and those headlines, but we can do a deeper dive on one specific topic that is on demand that people really, really want to hear about.
I want to encourage everybody to download that podcast from Jenna Ellis. You can find that on all the podcast platforms out there, and you can also go to AFR.net and find it there. But get that podcast. You're going to love it. And of course, if you can, listen to Jenna Ellis in the morning, 7 a.m. Central Time. Jenna, you love the Jewish people, and you love the land of Israel. Why do you love the Jewish people and the land of Israel?
Well, I love the Lord, first and foremost, and the Lord loves the Jewish people. And we see that throughout Scripture, that they are, in the Old Testament, God's chosen people. And we see that they are a huge central fixture part of the gospel story and the great narrative. And without understanding the Jewish people, we would not, as Gentiles, of course, I am not of a lineage and heritage of being Jewish, then I would not understand how I was adopted into the family of God. And so the whole grand narrative of Scripture not only shows our need for salvation and our need to trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and understand how to come into a saving knowledge of Him, but also to see His promises to Israel. And when God fulfills His promises to Israel and the prophecies about Israel, then we can have assurance as Christians that He will fulfill His promises to us. And so it really is part and parcel of understanding the Christian life, to understand who the people in Israel are, the nation of Israel, and what God's covenants to the Israel people are, and how they will persist, and that God always keeps His promises.
You know, that's so true. And isn't it amazing that sometimes we forget that the Bible is a Jewish text? It was written by Jewish people. And I think sometimes we forget that Jesus was Jewish. You know, He came as a Savior. He is our Savior. He's coming back again, but He was Jewish.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and that's where, you know, He wasn't American, right? And so when people say, oh, you know, this is the greatest country in the world, I think that's true. I'm proud to be an American. But we have this kind of conflict, I think, John, especially in the younger generation of Gen Z, about, well, if we're supposed to be America first and we're supposed to be great patriots, then how can we support Israel? And should we be Israel first? I don't think so. I want to be America first. And, you know, that becomes this question that I think we're going to get to about supporting Israel as well.
Yeah, it's something we all need to be, you know, thinking about. And there's so much obviously going on in the land of Israel right now. They've got a war on seven different fronts, and so they're going through a lot. Mm-hmm. Ever since 2023, October 7, the massacre, and now all the wars that are going on in Israel. And I want to talk about some of the current events or some things that are going on in Israel. And I thought a very interesting way to do that with Jenna Ellis would be to play, you know, some different clips of, you know, different people that are out there that are talking about what's happening in Israel. And one of those guys is Mark Levin. He has this great TV show on Fox, and he said some very interesting things. So if it's okay with you, what I'd like to do, I've got three clips. I've got two from Mark and one from Senator Tom Cotton, who is from Arkansas. And I'm just going to let you go. I'm going to play the clip, and I'm going to just come back and say, Jenna, go at it and give us your response to it. Is that okay
with you?
Sounds
good. All right.
Here we go. First clip from Mark Levin.
She's very evil. She's been undermining the state of Israel since she's been in the United States Senate. She's never criticized any of the anti-Semites in her party. You'll notice they all support her. She's made Brotherhood and Sisterhood with the River to the Sea crowd, with the mayor of Dearborn, Michigan. She picked somebody as her vice presidential candidate who was friends with an imam who talked about the evisceration of the Jews. She's a very evil person, and I want to go beyond that. This administration is evil. I don't believe October 7th would have happened, but for the appeasement and the subsidies given to Iran for the years leading up to October 7th by Blinken, by Biden, and Harris. They refueled their economy. They made it possible for them to purchase arms. They gave them a psychological advantage where they thought they could pretty much do anything and this administration would appease them.
Well, I could not agree more with Mark Levin, and his use of that term evil to describe obviously Kamala Harris and the current administration under Biden and Harris, this is not just a pejorative. He's not just saying this is evil in an opinion sense, like I personally don't prefer that. There is an objective, measurable difference between right and wrong, good and evil. And we as Christians need to understand that and not overuse the term evil. But I think he is very precision in using it here, because if we understand the truth of God and we do understand the prophecies that are given about the nation of Israel, we understand that Israel is entitled to that land because of the Abrahamic covenant, then to oppose that is to oppose God himself. And that is the very definition of evil. And so when you have all of these campaign sort of back and forth and saying, you know, oh, Trump is literally Hitler, or you know, he's a threat to democracy, and all those are pejoratives because they are just attacking Trump and they can't actually back that up. But when Mark Levin and others say that this administration is actually evil, what they are saying is that they are the administration and their policies are opposing God himself. That will never go well for America or any other nation that has a policy that opposes what God himself has ordained. Just like if we have a policy here in America that is pro-abortion and says that we don't value human life from the moment of conception all the way until natural death, we are opposing God himself, and that is rightly described as evil.
You know, that is truth, what you're speaking, Jenna Ellis of Jenna Ellis in the Morning, heard on American Family Radio. And when you talk about evil, you have to talk about what's going on in Israel, what happened on October 7th with this horrific massacre. And I often hear, you know, people from Israel saying this is a battle that's going on in the land of Israel between good and evil. It's like a spiritual warfare. That's what it seems like.
And it is, absolutely. And this has been going on, by the way, since Abraham and then Isaac and Ishmael. And of course, Ishmael was through Hagar, and that led to the Palestinians and that conflict between that and God's chosen people through Isaac, who is the child of promise. And we see that history in Genesis. And if Christians fail to understand history in the book of Genesis, if you just take it allegorically, even Genesis 1 through 3, some people say, well, you know, did God really create the world through ex nihilo, out of nothing? And, you know, did God really mean for us to literally interpret Genesis 1 through 3? If we take anything that God has set down that is plainly history in the Bible and we start just allegorizing, then suddenly we have opened Pandora's box and we have the very first sin in the garden, which was, did God really say? So we have to read scripture literally, which doesn't mean that every single passage in the Bible is meant to be interpreted itself literally. I mean, there is poetry, there's psalms, there are proverbs, but those are meant to be literally interpreted as psalms and poetry and so forth. And so when there is a book of history like the book of Genesis, we are to take that literally because God's word is inerrant, meaning it is without error. It is sufficient to tell us how we live the Christian life, how we can come to know God, and it is complete. And we know that God as the author of all things has told us the beginning, and he has told us how it will end, and he has told us all of the promises that he will fulfill throughout his story or history. And so when we look at the history of where the Jewish nation and the nation of Israel came from Father Abraham, and we see that conflict that has persisted for approximately 6,000 years, it's not anything that is new. This has been a battle for the last 6,000 years, and the only reason is because those who oppose Israel are not trusting that God meant what he said. And I'll read this from Genesis 12, the call of Abraham, and this is the Abrahamic covenant. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will give you, and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And that promise, that covenant, does not have an expiration date. And last time I checked, God is the author and creator of all things, has title to the land, and to whomever he, as the landlord, gives the land, that is who is entitled to it. And that means the nation of Israel, under this Genesis 12 covenant, is entitled, go to the land that I will give to you. I will make you into a great nation. That is a enduring covenant all the way until the earth passes away. And in Revelation, we see a new Jerusalem, a new heavens, and a new earth. And so while we are still here in this moment, the land is Israel's. And as Christians, we must affirm that if we affirm the truth and the person of God himself.
That's Jenna Ellis, Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio, and you can catch her podcast as well when you go to AFR.net. Just click on the podcast tab. You're listening to the Middle East Report. Jenna, we promised three different cuts that I want you to respond to, and we have another one from Mark Levin. Of course, Mark is Jewish, and he's got that great show on Fox, so let's listen, and then you'll come back and just tell us what you think.
They do not want Israel to be a power in that region. They do not want Israel to be able to defend itself. They talk out of both sides of their mouths. In the meantime, they're telling Israel right now, don't knock out Iran. Do what we do, appease. This administration, like the Democrat Party now, is loaded with Jew-hating, Israel-hating anti-Semites. You see it in the streets. You see it in their constituency. You see it in their colleges and universities. This has been a horrendous period of time.
Well, if the Democrats are consistent at one thing, it's consistent at hating God. And what Mark Levin said, again, is very precision that they hate the Jews, they are anti-Semitic, and they don't want Israel to prosper. They don't want Israel to be entitled to their land. But why? It's not just because they so happen to hate this one particular nation. It's not that just for some reason they just don't like the Jewish customs, or they, you know, have a problem with, you know, the yarmulkes, or, you know, something that's just a personal preference. It's that they hate that God loves Israel. That's the origin of this. And this is why worldview matters. Because if you wonder, well, why is it that the left and the Democrats just absolutely hate the Jewish people? You have to understand what is their worldview. Their worldview is completely opposite to truth. It's opposed to good. It's opposed to everything that God loves. They hate. And so when you look at the worldview and you say, okay, they're consistent in being evil, well, then no wonder they hate the Jewish people and they are anti-Semitic. And so it actually makes sense when you look at it from a worldview context, because everyone has a lens by which they view the world, what they believe about the legitimacy of government, the power of government. When you look at how the Democrats want to fundamentally transform America, they do not want a self-government. They don't want religious freedom. They don't want freedom of speech and communication, doing what we're doing right now, which is teaching the truth about God and discussing those things together. They are fundamentally opposed to all that is right and good and moral and upright. And so we have to put this in context with the worldview of the left, which is to at every single turn oppose God. And that is the origin of their anti-Semitism.
Jenna, we have an election coming up, and obviously there's a lot of issues that we're going to be dealing with. Is Israel one of the things that we should be thinking about when we go into that polling booth or when we're making that vote?
Absolutely. And, you know, we alluded to Gen Z being the generation that's kind of asking this question of, well, wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to be America first. We're American citizens, we're patriots, so we shouldn't be Ukraine first. But why are we suggesting that we have to support Israel and almost say, well, we have to bless Israel and be subservient or under them in that way? And what I would say to Gen Z or anyone who is asking that question, absolutely, we need to contemplate Israel, because we need to contemplate whether the United States will be an ally to Israel and will be an ally to God himself and will obey and respect our divine lawgiver, which every nation, no matter if it's America or anyone that has ever existed or will exist, must recognize God as the author of all things and truth and say that all authority, as Jesus said in the Great Commission, all authority heaven and earth has been given to me. We are under his authority. Every government to be moral and upright must be under his authority. So it's not that we are saying, well, to be an American and to support Israel means that we prefer the interests of Israel over America. It's saying that to be America first means that we support Israel and our interests are aligned, because we understand that if we are dedicated to recognizing truth, then we as Americans will support Israel because we understand the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12. We understand the truth of God. And so therefore, to be America first is to say that we need to be an ally to Israel. And so it's not inconsistent. It's not in conflict. And if, and we absolutely can say we oppose more funding to Ukraine for this war, but we absolutely support Israel and the land. Now, from a policy perspective, what does that mean? Does that mean that we need to give, you know, billions of dollars to Israel? Not necessarily, but it does mean, and those are questions we can debate, but it does mean that we support Israel's right to defend itself and Israel's right to occupy the land. And how we engage then toward that end and in that support becomes the policy question and the debate.
Jenna Ellis, you can listen to her podcast on AFR. Click on the podcast tab. You can get it there, or you can listen to her live on the radio on AFR all across the country, 7 a.m. Central Time on American Family Radio. Jenna, we've got one more cut that I want to play, and I want to give you time at the end of the broadcast because I know you want to share some things from Genesis 12. I want to make sure I give you time to do that. But this one is from Senator Tom Cotton, who's from Arkansas. So let's listen, and then you can give a response.
Sometimes they put more pressure on Israel than they put on the terrorists that have attacked Israel. So they certainly support Iran over the last 4 years through appeasement and conciliation. As you say, giving over $100 million of economic gain by looking the other way on illicit oil shipments or paying ransom for hostages. They even lifted the embargo on Iran's missile and drone program last year, just 2 weeks after the October 7th atrocities. Those are the exact same missiles that Iran has now used to rain down on Israel twice this year. Yet the Biden and Harris reflexive response is always ceasefire, don't escalate, take the win. What we should do is very simple. Back Israel to the hilt and let Israel win.
So well said by Senator Tom Cotton, and I could not agree more. That is what a nation that trusts in the Lord and understands the measurable difference between right and wrong, good and evil, should do. And the mainstream media and the leftists, of course, are trying to pervert the narrative, and they are trying to say that Israel somehow is the aggressor because, again, in a Marxist worldview, there is the aggressor and the victim. And so there's the oppressor and the oppressed. And what they are trying to do purposefully is to shift the narrative to have Israel appear to be the aggressor, which is utterly false. If we go back and we look at what happened on October 7th of 2023, we see that that was a horrendous terror attack against Israel. And Israel, even if they were not the chosen nation in the land, and you know, even setting aside the biblical promise here, even if we're talking about two other completely different nations, and we're just talking about the rules of engagement and war, if a nation commits that type of atrocity against another nation, they have a right to defend themselves. And so we have to have the facts and the truth. And it's the Democrats that always claim, oh, it's misinformation. Well, they're the ones that are trying to spin the narrative. And so, of course, Israel has the right to defend itself. And when we're also talking, though, bring back in the biblical worldview, now we're talking about Israel. We're talking about Palestine and Iran. And it is no coincidence that the left is trying on purpose to make Israel out to be the aggressor because they want purposefully to paint Israel as the evil one. That is completely opposed to the truth of God. And so when our nation and our leaders are supporting evil, then that has consequences on our nation from a moral and biblical perspective. And this is why God in his word says to pray for our leaders. And it says in, I believe it's Psalms, that when there's righteous leadership, the people rejoice. And when there is evil leadership, the people groan. And that absolutely shows that when we have a federal head that is choosing evil, then we suffer as the people. And this is why elections matter. This is why the November election matters and why every person should get out and vote our values. This isn't about Republican versus Democrat. This is about voting for truth. Vote for good instead of evil to the best possibility. And yes, it's a closed universe situation in the sense that you only sometimes have two options, but there is a better option and there is a worse option. And if you look at the history of the 4 years of Donald Trump and his support and love for Israel, which was objectively speaking right and true and good according to our standard, which is the Bible and the truth of Christ. And then you look at what the 4 years of Biden-Harris has done, they have supported evil. And we cannot, as Christians, condone that and approve that and affirm that with our vote if we are truly voting our values. And so this is what it means to live a Christian life, which is to view politics not as just isolated into policy and political parties and personalities, but to say that part of our stewardship of our country as Christians is to engage in our leadership, pray for them first and foremost, and then engage with our vote and then with our accountability so that our leaders are advocating for truth at every turn and we can continue to build a moral and upright society.
Jenna Ellis on the Middle East Report. You can catch Jenna in the morning on American Family Radio all across the country, 7 a.m. Central Time. You can catch her podcast on American Family Radio. Click on the podcast tab and get that there as well. Jenna, we want to wrap up the Middle East Report today by giving you a chance to just share your heart. I know you love the Bible, but especially Genesis 12. I know there's something special there, and I wanted to just give you, 5 minutes or so just to share your heart.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. And, it really is the fruit of a Christian. We know that we are not saved by works, but we know that the fruit of a Christian and how you can tell if a person loves the Lord is by the fruit in his or her life. And so our fruit in our life should be more and more love, first and foremost for the Lord, but then also for his truth and how we live our Christian life. And we are all sinners. We've fallen short of the glory of God, absolutely. But as we are continually perfected toward the image of Christ and have that progressive sanctification, we should be able to see that we are further in line with truth than we were yesterday, than we were last year or 10 years ago. And one of the things that I have learned in speaking truth in love, I often am fine speaking truth, but the love piece is a little bit more difficult sometimes, right? And then some people, they love and they love and they never want to oppose. And so the truth piece is a little more hard, right? But the Bible calls us to do both. And so the reason that I absolutely love Scripture is because it helps me know God more and therefore know how I should act and the truth that I speak and the manner in which I should speak it. And so when we contemplate things about the nation of Israel, about policy and politics, I love our Constitution. I love this great nation. I'm so thankful for the blessings of liberty that often we so take for granted. But I am so incredibly thankful that God has put me on this earth at this time with a vocation and a ministry to fulfill the Great Commission. And that is true for every single person listening. And it doesn't matter if you went to law school like me, if you're on the radio, or if you are a rocket scientist, if you love studying in a library, if you're a doctor, if you're a home educator, if you're a mom. All of these vocations that God calls us to, the one thing that we all have in common is that we are pursuing Christ. And we are called at each and every moment to know God and love him more, because the Apostle Paul says in the New Testament that we should grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And how can we speak truth if we don't first know the person of truth? So the reason that I love Genesis 12, the reason that I love the entire counsel of Scripture is because then I get to know my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ more. And for all of you who have parents, you have spouses, you have children, the more that you know them, the more you love things about them. And that is so true for our relationship with the Lord. It's not just this head knowledge. It's also not just this vague vibes, like what Kamala Harris's campaign is, you know, just vague joy. It's knowledge that's based in truth. And then we love who Jesus revealed himself to be, not just who we would like to make him or we imagine him to be. He has revealed himself in Scripture. We can know him. And it is our distinct privilege that he has given us. It is a gift that we can know him and love him more. And then at each and every moment, it should be our goal to bring as many people as we can into a saving knowledge of him, so that when we all get to heaven someday, what a great and joyous day that will be, as the old hymn goes, when we all get to heaven, and we will know that because of our work here on earth, we helped fulfill the Great Commission. And that is a wonderful, amazing thing. And that's just why I love, love, love being in the Word, because it is our life stream.
It is. And I want to encourage everybody to read Genesis 12, you know, about the promise that was given to a gentleman there in that 12th chapter, that in the entire world would be blessed through this people, and that if we bless the Jewish people and bless Israel, we'll be blessed. If we don't, well, then the opposite is going to happen, and it's not going to be good. And sadly, here in our country, and especially with this current political administration, we've seen a lot of cursing going on towards Israel, and that's very sad, Jenna. It really is.
It really is, and it is a direct rejection of truth, and we have to be very careful that we are always conforming our lives, our thoughts, and our actions to the person of truth of Christ.
Jenna Ellis, our guest here on the Middle East Report. Jenna, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for your love for the land of Israel, for the Jewish people, for the Word of God. And I just want to encourage everybody to get your podcast. And that's on demand.
Yes.
You know, that's the best way to do it. You can just put the headphones on and, you know, roll down the road or working out in the yard or whatever you're doing, and they can listen to you on demand.
And that's the title of it, On Demand. Exactly why we titled it that, because it's on demand, and very excited to launch that. But thank you so much.
I love that.
For having me. These conversations are so important.
Jenna Ellis, get that podcast when you go to AFR.net, AFR.net, click on the podcast tab, and it's available on any other podcast platform out there.
Absolutely.
As well. So not just on AFR. So if you're on Spotify, iTunes, whatever platform you use, you can get it there as well. Thank you again, Jenna, for all that you do. And I want to encourage people, listen to that podcast, listen to you live if they can catch you in the mornings on American Family Radio. And thank you for listening to the Middle East Reports. We want to encourage you to please pray for Israel, stand with Israel and the Jewish people. Please do not stay home on voting day. Get out there and vote. You can make a difference. And thanks for listening to the Middle East Reports. I'm John Reilly.